It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, to discuss another NFL draft prospect profile is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you ready to dive into the next guy we got on the board here? Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, Terrace Marshall is your guy. I feel like over the last, handful of weeks, you've been super high in Terrace Marshall, so you've been chomping at the bit to talk about him. But yeah, it's going to be an awesome week for the pod, by the way. We have the Terrace Marshall breakdown we're recording now. We're going to drop the two-part pod with Pat Corain of Established the Run, where he broke down Elijah and Rondell Moore. Then we're going to go back to the quarterbacks later on in the week with Mac Jones and Trey Lance. That's going to be interesting. We got to talk about Jalen Waddle, and we're going to do a massive free agency preview, which we hinted towards on Twitter who our guest is.
Yeah, man, that's a big week. I mean, look, free agency is staring us down the barrel. That's coming up. And we're really going to dive into all that, man. So if you have not followed us on Twitter, need to do so. Go follow Adam and myself. As you have seen this preview, this tease of what is to come, Steffi Smalls is going to be stopping by the podcast to talk all things free agency. We're going to dive into 25, 30, heck, maybe even more players, all on the offensive side, give you landing spots, where we think they can land, and what that means for fantasy, man. It is going to be crazy!
Yeah, and I will just remind everybody, in case you are, you were into basketball during the first half of the season, and now you're diving into the free agency class, just want to remind everybody, Marvin Jones is a free agent, so we will be talking about Marvin Jones on Wednesday.
I can't wait until he signs somewhere, because all we're going to see is a ton of gifts out of Adam's account, just saying, oh my god, it's happening! It's happening! Just dude, all the office gifts.
Zero reason they should do it, but just for the madness that would ensue, if Marvin Jones was a Buffalo Bill, I don't know if I'd be able to come into work the following day or two. I don't know what would happen to me. I would just, levitate off the ground, and I'd be...
I've already got, prospective guests, booked just in case that happens, because I figure, you're going to go on a bender, you're going to be off the rails for 48 to 72 hours, nobody's going to be able to find you, and then you're just going to magically reemerge after that period.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
All right, man, before we dive into Terrace Marshall, got to get this up in here. Before we get rolling, brand new partnership for FTN with Collectible. If you don't know what Collectible is, get real, get with it, man. It's a fantastic new site. Let's fans buy and sell real equity shares in rare and exciting sports collectibles, so sports cards, memorabilia, so much more on the site, man. Share prices starting at just a dollar. So I'm on the app right now. I'm staring at all these different sports cards, and a lot of these, you've got random people, rookie cards, all kinds of stuff. It is fantastic. You need to get signed up today. Use the code FTN for a chance to win a limited edition Topps Project 70 cards signed by DJ Ski and over $10,000 of sports card prizes. Visit collectible.com/FTN for all the details. All right, Adam, let's dive into Terrace Marshall, man. You talked about, I'm on the bus, I might be driving it, but at least I know that I'm riding on it, man. Love this guy. Diving into his production profile. Coming out of LSU, standing at 6'3", 200 pounds, he is at 20 years old. Look, man, ever since high school, the guy was balling out, a five-star prospect for 24/7 Sports. And you look at it, the thing is that a lot of people are going to stare at the production profile and be like, okay, well, why should I love the guy? I don't really know. He was the third option in the LSU passing offense. Even as such, in 2019, 671 receiving yards, had a 75% catch rate, 13 receiving touchdowns, and you look going even back to his freshman year, man. He had a fracture and dislocated ankle in his senior season of high school, so whether that contributed to a quiet freshman season, we don't know, man. But there's so many other boxes that this guy is checking. 92nd percentile college dominator. You're looking at his breakout age stands at 19.2. That is 86th percentile. last year for LSU, before opting out, which he only got 7 games, he was the unquestioned alpha there. In those 7 games, played 731 receiving yards, 10 receiving touchdowns. And if people are looking at the overall stat line, which I've heard about, and I've heard people talk about it, and there are some inaccuracies with how people are discussing him. If you look at his stats and Kayshon Boutte's stats on the paper, it looks like, oh, well, they're like basically the same. They must have like been getting targets at the same rate. And they were, I mean, he didn't ascend. He wasn't the real alpha. That is absolutely wrong. If you go game by game and look at better context on the, like when Marshall was on the field with those 7 games, he had a 25% target share, 731 receiving yards. Boutte only had 209 and a 12% target share during that stretch. Boutte really exploded over the last 3 games of LSU's season, where he racked up 527 receiving yards of his over 700. So, Adam, discussing all of that, what jumps out to you about Terrace Marshall?
Yeah, I think you really hit on what really stands out is the 2019 season, where LSU had this historic offense with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Terrace Marshall was like the fourth option a lot of those games, and still had 13 touchdowns and still had nearly 700 receiving yards. And then, obviously, Chase opts out in 2020. Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Joe Burrow all go to the NFL. And they move Terrace Marshall, who, at 6'3", 200 pounds, they move him into the slot, where he played like 73% of the time last year. And that's what I'm really interested in with Terrace Marshall, especially at the NFL level, is at 6'3", a guy who's not particularly the greatest route runner, doesn't have the greatest short area burst, is he, depending on what team he gets drafted by, a player that's going to play in the slot a lot? And I don't think at the NFL level he'll be at 73%, but it was nice to see that. Like, it's one of those situations we talked about with both Elijah and Rondale Moore, right? Like, talent left, same with Rashad Bateman too, especially Rashad Bateman. I mean, talent left with Rashad Bateman, right? Tyler Johnson gets drafted. They moved Rashad Bateman into the slot primarily, and they just schemed him targets. And that's kind of what they did with Terrace Marshall, moving him into the slot a ton. So I think that's going to be interesting when he gets to the NFL level, is at 6'3", 200 pounds, whoever drafts him, are they going to say, okay, we want you to primarily play on the outside, or are we going to do like a 60-40 type thing? Because he clearly showed he can play on the perimeter and in the slot.
And we can jump into his skills and his profile as far as what we think are strengths. And I actually think that he could profile well in the slot. And considering his size at 6'3", 200, and some of this, we'll see where he measures in at and stuff. I mean, I've heard, like, you know how that goes with teams, Adam. Like, could he really be 6'2"? Could he be 6'1"? Does he come in a shade below 200? We'll see where all that kind of stands after pro days and stuff like that. But I think that I was actually really happy with what I saw on him regarding film, both in his short area quickness, his ability to run short and intermediate routes out of the slot. I thought that his quickness was fine regarding getting separation on those routes, as well as on the outside. He's a guy that plays up to his size. I think he can get physical. He can win versus zone, and as well as man and press on the outside. And we got to talk about the quarterback situation.
He super caught, up and down.
Oh my God, dude. He caught passes from 3 different quarterbacks.
I was going to say, it was at least two, but three. I mean, my goodness.
Max Johnson, TJ Finley, Miles Brennan, all attempted 130 or more passes for LSU.
Dude, I'm sure you've watched more Terrace Marshall than me, I would imagine. How many times did you watch one of those three quarterbacks on the run with a guy in their face just throw it up? It was like, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Dude, and the other thing about it is, like, there was multiple times where I'm watching the film, and I'm like, and they went to other receivers for incompletions, and I'm watching Marshall separate over the middle for what would have been an easy completion. And so, like, it's also watching the film, and it's like, okay, well, the pass didn't go to him. What did he do on his route? And as well as there was yards left on the field, like you're talking about, Adam, there were 2 or 3 different plays, like one that's popping out of my head right now versus Texas A&M. Like, the quarterback was on the run, he's under duress, Terrace Marshall is open in the middle of the field right in front of him, and he airmails it for an interception. And I'm like, dude, if that's a completion, like, that's another easy completion in Terrace Marshall's bag. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's just bad quarterbacking play. So, I think it has to get brought up that, like, it's hard enough for receivers to get on the page with one quarterback, much less three. So, that has to get mentioned here. So, I like his ability.
DJ Chark last year.
Exactly, man. Like, I think that Terrace Marshall did a whole lot in 2020. And especially if we're looking at context on the teams that he played and when he was on the field, what he was able to do. I like his ability to both play both outside and inside. I think that he's a guy that also, if people want to talk about speed, there are multiple times on film where he gets in the open field and he's able to get ahead of steam behind him, and he's more of a long strider. Now, I talked about, does he have the short area quickness to win short and intermediate? Yes, he does. But the guy also has speed. Like, I think he's probably going to come in as a 4-5 guy, but if he surprises us, I really won't be that surprised if he runs a high 4-4.
I think he will run a high 4-4, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be surprised by that because you see the speed in the open field. Like, there were multiple times, and again, that Texas A&M game or Missouri where I saw him pull away from defensive backs. So if anybody wants to be out there talking about, okay, well, does he really have enough speed to really be the guy? The other thing about it is, like, he showed you that statistically. Like, over the final two seasons, he was able to be a fantastic deep threat. 25 targets, he secured 52% of them for 477 yards, 7 touchdowns, and a 137 passer rating on deep completions. That's awesome. As a guy that I'm telling you, for his size, that can win short, win out of the slot, and as well operate as a deep threat, I'm really high on Terrace Marshall, and I'm not going to back down on that. But the thing about it is that I think that if Terrace Marshall really hits at him, and I think that we're going to talk about landing spots. We're going to talk about where he goes in the draft. I think that he's going to go inside the top two rounds. And I think that if he really hits, he's going to really hit as a volume monster for an offense. Now, we're going to talk about range of outcomes. And any of these prospects, for as much as we like them, could still fail. That happens. That's why we discuss ranges for these guys. And not just being like, oh, every guy is going to be Julio Jones. That's not the fact. But I really, really love Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, so breaking down, and I agree, like, we talked about this before we jumped on the pod, like, I comfortably have Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae, not in this order, but in this order, Ja'Marr Chase, Rashad Bateman, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, and Rondale Moore as my top five, pretty comfortably. And then it's Kadarius Toney, Elijah Moore, and Terrace Marshall in the next tier for me, and I think Marshall, out of those three, has the best opportunity, best chance to be, like, an alpha for a team, just because of his size, his skill set. We talked about Elijah Moore. He's going to be primarily a slot guy than Kadarius Toney. We haven't talked about, but he's kind of more of a slot guy. You use in creative ways. I don't think you're going to line him up on the outside and say go win and press coverage and stuff like that. Skill set wise, though, Terrace Marshall gives you that nice combination of size and speed. Like, he's not going to be, you know, a true burner, but straight line speed for a guy that you want running vertical routes is really, really encouraging, and he has really good straight line speed. Really good catch radius, get high points the ball pretty well. Like, he is a really ideal player for vertical passing routes, and that's going to be really, really enticing for a lot of these teams. I think he's a good red zone guy as well. Those are my main strengths for him. He's also, like, he's played in multiple different roles. He's been the guy. He's also been, like we talked about, the third or fourth option. He's played against elite competition. He's played, you know, on a high-powered, popular, highly viewed offense at LSU. So, like, he has the experience you want and just all the kind of situational football stuff that he's had in his tenure at LSU. So there's definitely a lot of strengths and a lot of things like with Terrace Marshall.
I think that if he hits, you're looking at a guy that's going to be a low-end one, a high-end two for a team. And considering where the league is going, passing rates, if it's a high-volume passing offense, that is a role that we should covet. And I think that he's going to possibly fall down the board a little bit or go overlooked. I mean, I have not heard a lot of people out on social media sitting here pumping Terrace Marshall as a guy that they really want to gravitate to. I think that there's more concern with, okay, well, he wasn't the guy for multiple seasons, not just one, and he didn't even play a full season in 2020 for LSU, so I think some people look at the track record, and I'm like, okay, but when he was given the role, or he did command the role, what did he do? Well, he balled out, you know? So I'm not going to knock the guy for going to a big school. And I know this gets brought up with other wide receivers and stuff like that. This is not a Henry Ruggs. This is not another like wide receiver situation where it's like he wasn't really that good or he wasn't good enough. The guy was a freaking 5-star prospect coming out of high school. He's got this requisite size to be an alpha. He was an alpha when he was on the field in 2020. This is not another situation of, oh, we're pumping up a guy that couldn't even command much of a target share. He was up against Justin Jefferson, who had just had arguably the greatest rookie season for any wide receiver in NFL history, much less Jamar Chase, who's going to be a top 5 or 10 pick in the NFL draft. So excuse me if Terrace Marshall was not the unquestioned one versus these two guys. Like, that's insane. Like, that is fantastic talent to be up against and compete against daily in practice on the same team. So I'm not going to knock Terrace Marshall for what he was able to do in his tenure at LSU, but we need to jump into some weaknesses or areas that we think he can improve in his game, Adam. And so the first one that I want to lean into here is drops were a little bit of an issue. In 2020 especially, you're looking at a guy that only dropped 4 passes in the 2 seasons before 2020 combined, and in 2020 he dropped 7. Now, some of this, when you go back in the film, some of this could be hands, and you're talking about, okay, I don't think the guy has a bad set of hands. I think that he has strong hands at the catch point. I think that he has a pair of soft hands. I think that he can catch. That's not the problem here. I look at it as more of concentration drops. A guy that's trying to do too much after the catch, and before he's even secured the damn ball, he's already thinking, okay, when I come down, how am I going to juke this guy? How am I going to create after the catch? How am I going to extend this play? And it's like, dude, you got to catch the damn ball before you even do that. You're not going anywhere if you don't have the football in your freaking hands. So that's the first thing that I want to discuss with Terrace Marshall is the drops. They're not that big of an issue. They do show up on the film. It is something that we need to mention here, as well as some of the blocking, man. There were multiple snaps that I'm watching where it's run plays, where Marshall would set his block and then all of a sudden just like let go of the guy. And you're seeing defenders chase down a running back, and the gains are not as long as they should be because Marshall's blocking. And I think it's more of an effort than it is a skill thing because I think he has the size and the strength to do it. I just think it was an effort thing. And I'm not going to sit here and just bump him down a peg and say that he's a guy that doesn't care or he's not a guy that gives high effort on the field. If you watch him after the catch and what he's trying to do and to make guys miss and get extra yards every single reception, then I don't understand how you could talk about he's a guy that doesn't put out effort. But as far as like some of the unsexy parts of the game, we're talking about other prospects as well in this that we've discussed previously. These things show up sometimes and it's like, okay, this needs to get mentioned. How much of a concern is it? Not as much for a receiver versus other positions, but it's something we got to bring up.
Yeah, drops are always interesting with wide receivers because for the most part, I don't think it's like a, like it's obviously an area he needs to improve, but it's not, we've seen so many receivers with drop issues coming into the league and it just disappears. Davante Adams is the obvious example where he had serious drop issues even, you know, once he entered the NFL and now he's the best receiver in football. But they were all concentration drops. There was like 4 drops I watched where he just wasn't looking the ball in. Like you said, he was getting ready to make his move after the catch before he even secured the football. And I would rather have them be drops where he's going up and contested catches and dropping them than those. But I think that's something you can easily fix and easily coach. But it is interesting because like Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney, those two players that I have really close with Terrace Marshall, they have more consistent, just better hands all around the football field, which is why I think it's close between the three. But yeah, it's something he needs to just kind of, you know, focus in on and make sure you're paying attention to. But again, he's a young player, not even in the NFL yet. Plenty of time to improve on that area. And then I think he's a good enough route runner. I don't think he's special as a route runner. And I mentioned how I don't love his short area quickness, but he, like I said, his straight line speed is very encouraging for his size. And I'll add that I don't think he's like anywhere remotely close to these other receivers in terms of after the catch. Like, he is not going to be a yak guy in the NFL, I don't think. I think he'll break some tackles. He's not going to, you know, run by a bunch of players and turn. Like, he ran a lot of slants at LSU, and you didn't see him just take a slant to the house. It was a lot of the vertical stuff, which is fine. Like, that's his role. But like, is it a weakness? Maybe. But if he's being schemed up as a vertical player in the NFL, you don't really care about yak. Like, nobody mentions DeSean Jackson's yak, because when he does get yak, it's because he separated 35 yards down the field and scored a 60-yard touchdown.
I mean, the thing about Terrace Marshall is, do I think that he's a guy like freaking A.J. Brown that's going to stiff-arm somebody and get yards after the catch for days? No. I think that considering where he's lined up, and we can talk about that too, if he does get some slot time in the NFL, or if he even if he's a 40% guy, if he's matched up with a smaller nickel corner that's 5'9", like 180, 190 or something like that, could he stiff-arm him into oblivion? Sure. And gain that. But if bigger physical corners, is he going to get a lot of yards after the catch in that instance? No. I mean, I don't think that that's really the high point of his game. I think that he can break arm tackles, but I don't think it's something where you're, like, looking at the strengths of his game and saying, this dude's a monster. Like, Ja'Marr Chase, that dude's going to bully dudes at the NFL level. Like, he's going to get yards after the catch. He's that damn strong. I don't put Terrace Marshall in that same realm.
Yeah, like, he's in the weaknesses I mentioned, like, route running and yak, like, he's not anywhere close to, like, a zero. He's good enough in both those categories. It's just not like it's not one of the attributes you put under the strength column for him. Whereas,
yeah, like, you're not going to rate him at like a 9. Like, maybe he's like a 6 or a 6.5 or something like that. Like, it's like, okay, well, that's good enough. It's not great.
Yeah, and I will add, like, while he's not the best route runner and didn't get open a lot off the first read or whatever, he worked to get open after the play, which is always something you like to see from your players.
So with Terrace Marshall, Adam, let's dive into this, man. When you were watching film, looking at all of his profile, tell me your closest comp, or at least range of comps for him, and where do you think he lands in the NFL draft?
Going back in time to when I was 3 years old. all joking aside, I was not 3 years old in 2008, 2007, but Braylon Edwards.
That's a name from back in time.
He really reminded me of Braylon Edwards for a lot of reasons. Okay. Braylon Edwards, 4.5, 40 times, so right in that area we think Terrace Marshall will test out at. More of a vertical player. Very similar breakout age, 19.5 breakout age for Braylon Edwards. Very similar college dominator rating. Very similar college yards per reception. And then obviously the size, Braylon Edwards, 6'3", you know, a little over 200 pounds. He's very similar with the way he won. Good straight line speed, but not a guy that's just going to, in the short area, just, you know, burn players. And he also had drops throughout his career, and there were a lot of concentration drops. He led the NFL in drop passes in 2008. Am I saying Terrace Marshall is going to lead the NFL in drop passes? No, but it just kind of reminds me of Braylon Edwards, with a lot of them were concentration drops. And some people may say, oh, he's going to be Braylon Edwards and he's going to stink. Let's not forget Braylon Edwards in his prime was pretty damn good. Magical year in 2007 where Cleveland went like 10-6 with Derek Anderson when he had like 13 or 14 touchdowns during that year. I think he's very similar to Braylon Edwards. And if you're looking for more of a recent comp, I think he could be a very way less fast version of DJ Chark.
Okay.
Just the way they both win, right? Like, you don't see DJ Chark running slants or screens, or he runs a ton of vertical routes, and he gets separation on him. It's just, we talk about it ad nauseum, but nobody hit him last year consistently for Jacksonville. So those are my comps. More towards Braylon Edwards, though. I saw a lot of Braylon Edwards with Terrace Marshall.
I like the Braylon Edwards call. I really like that comp a lot. For me, I'm going to throw two names out here, and two of these guys were a little bit later in their careers breaking out. Like, they didn't hit the ground of running. And some of this is injuries, and what do you want to talk about? Like, what their role was in their offense. And I think that we're talking about Terrace Marshall. I think that I won't be surprised if he's a guy that's a late riser and sneaks into the back end of the first round. I've seen him in some mocks there. And I think that he's more likely a second-round pick. But the range, and part of this is, what is his usage going to be? Like, does a team look at him as more of an outside guy? Because he's shown in his skill set that he can be that.
Struggle I had with comping him to Braylon Edwards. Braylon Edwards did not play in the slot at all during his time. Like, he was, like, maxed, like, 13, 14% slot rate.
But the other thing about Braylon Edwards, what would Braylon Edwards have done in today's NFL? Like, would teams have used him inside more and taken advantage of
12, 13 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we could say that teams are moving wide receivers around more, and they're the mold for what they want and where they position guys is a little bit different considering. And so the two guys that stand out to me, and part of this is, where does he come in at for measurables? Is he really 6'3", 200? Is he more 6'2", a shade under 200? And is he going to be used outside versus is he going to be used in the slot more? Like, is he going to be a 65% or 60% slot guy, or is he going to be more of an outside guy? I think that he has the ability to do both. And so, looking at the range of outcomes here, the two guys that jumped out to me, and they played very, very different roles for their teams. I saw Devontae Parker, some when I watched his film, which is a big physical guy, can win outside, can win contested catches, and could be a low-end one for a team. I also saw, when he was lined up in the slot more of this 2020 film, I saw some shades of Tyler Boyd. So both of these guys we're talking about, can they be a one in their offense when they're asked to be? Yes. Are they better, or are they possibly suited as a really high-end two and can be a volume guy for an offense? That's really where my range of outcomes for him kind of lies. What are your thoughts there, Adam?
Yeah, Devontae Parker was a player I thought of as well. Similar to Chark, like, going to win vertically, not a guy. I think Devontae Parker is a guy that can definitely win in the intermediate too, but more so on contested catches. And he obviously, in the beginning of his career, was more towards injuries, the reason he was not as impressive or productive as we would have hoped. But Parker was definitely somebody I thought of. And Tyler Boyd I didn't think of, but like when you add the fact that Terrace Marshall in the slot so much, and that's obviously where you like Boyd, but the comp makes sense because you want Tyler Boyd, you realistically want Tyler Boyd to be your two. You know, mm-hmm. He'd be a very fine two. I don't think you feel great about him as a one. That might be the same with Terrace Marshall. I'm just really interested to see who drafts him and who, and if they play him in the slot more, if they just say, okay, you know, we understand that you played in the slot at LSU your final year, but that might have been just because they were scheming targets for you. We have other talented players in our team. We're just going to put you on the outside, which I think he could still be fine, but obviously you'd prefer him to play the slot and outside. I think it's going to be really interesting to see who drafts him.
Yeah, I think landing spots and stuff of that nature, and we're looking at landing spots for all these different players. Well, you're kind of diving into some of these landing spots. Before we kind of discuss, like, what teams and stuff, taking advantage of some of the values, especially if we're looking at something like a best ball draft and stuff, I think it's really fantastic at this time of the year. And if you're looking at doing best ball drafts, man, you got to be heading to Underdog. I mean, they have got NFL drafts, they've got MLB drafts that are alive right now. And we are partnered with them, looking at like FTN and Underdog working hand in hand. Underdog is a fantastic platform, man. I talked about it. They got MLB that is live right now. You're looking at a format where you can draft a team. There's no trades. There's no setting your lineups. It's just fun, man. It's draft and win money. So go head over there today. Use the promo code FTN. Get in on the NFL action. You can start getting all your shares with all these rookies right now in best ball drafts. So as the draft approaches and all these guys' ADPs all creep up, you're like, ha-ha, I already drafted them in multiple leagues. Woohoo! And enjoy it, man. Use the promo code FTN. Get signed up today. It is fantastic. You're going to love it, man. What teams, when you're looking at Terrace Marshall, do you see him possibly landing on?
So I do agree. I think he's going to be in that mid to late second round. And you look at some of the teams that are there, 51st overall, the Washington football team.
Yes! That
I talked a lot about with Rashad Bateman earlier in the offseason, but now I think they're probably going to look to Mac Jones at that spot if he's there in the first round. So you go to the second round. You don't – very quietly – Washington doesn't have a lot of massive needs other than quarterback, which is obviously the most important position, so it skews things. Their offensive line could use some – I know Brandon Scherff's a free agent. But, like, they have the best front seven in the NFL. Legitimately do. They could use another corner, I think. But receiver opposite Terry McLaurin has been a weakness. We know that. They've tried guys like, you know, Cam Sims, these deep threats who are – just showed flashes, but they weren't as productive and they weren't prospects like Terrace Marshall coming out. So you put him opposite Terry McLaurin, who can win everywhere, right? Terry McLaurin, when he's healthy, I know you tweeted the video clips of him from the off from the season, and he wasn't even fully healthy. Like, he can win at every part of the field, and you pair him with Terrace Marshall, who you can put him in the slot in Washington. That would make sense. They don't have a slot guy that you say, okay, you can't put him in the slot, and you can obviously put him out wide. I think that would honestly be the best fit for Marshall for an NFL team, for him to play wherever he wants, and for fantasy, because he would walk into notable targets right away. I like that fit. I also think that the Baltimore Ravens at 59 or 58 makes sense. It seems like we're always going to kind of mock some receivers to them, but they are apparently not going to be looking at Allen Robinson or any of these free agents, so go get Terrace Marshall, who really they don't have. They have Mark Andrews as their target in the red zone stuff, but other than that, it's Hollywood Brown, not a red zone guy. Devin Duvernay is, kind of a gadget player who they give handoffs and end-arounds to. Willie Snead's a slot guy, I think, is actually a free agent. Go get Terrace Marshall. I think that would make sense, too. Those two teams make the most sense to me in the second round. I would also add the Patriots, but please no.
Oh, gosh. Please no.
Please. He would be the best player on the team.
Please don't ruin him. Please don't ruin him on the Patriots, because Patriots, every wide receiver they touch just turns to fool's gold. Oh, God. That I would hate that. But for a volume aspect, the volume would be there for him. And you talked about the Washington football team. Love that landing spot. Love his fit opposite Terry McLaurin as a volume guy that can play outside and slot. The other two teams that jump out to me is the Detroit Lions. If they don't address the wide receiver position in the first round, if they trade down, grab another second round pick, grab other picks in this draft, if they address other needs, like we talked about in our mock draft, you had, what, Michael Parsons going to them? Like, if Parsons goes to them, or they take another guy, like another cornerback or what have you, in the first round, and they look at the second round, the third round for wide receiver, I think, and they franchise tag Kenny Galladay, then Terrace Marshall makes a ton of sense for them, either in the second or third round.
Did you know Marvin Jones is a free agent?
I did not. That's news to me. We're going to discuss it later this week, though. Dude,
that would make sense, though. It would be like, if they franchise and keep Kenny Galladay, you replace Marvin Jones with Terrace Marshall, who's going to win in very similar ways that Marvin Jones did. That makes sense, too. And I think Dan Campbell really wants to go defense in the first round. So I think at that seventh overall pick, and they were a team we mocked for quarterbacks before the Jared Goff trade, I think Terrace Marshall in the second round, or a receiver in general in the second round, makes a ton of sense, because it's not just Marvin Jones. It's Danny Amendola's a free agent. Mm-hmm. Like, they're two of the three best receivers. By the way, not totally off topic, but I'm going to have so much TJ Hockenson this offseason. Dan Campbell, former tight end, former tight ends coach. You lose Marvin Jones, you lose Amendola, you potentially lose Galladay. I think Hockenson could legitimately finish second in the NFL in receptions among tight ends.
Oh, he's going to get targeted for days. And moving from one team that is going to target the tight end a lot to a team that didn't look at their tight end at all this last year, and I think it could be a good landing spot, is the Carolina Panthers. We've talked about, and we discussed this on our Dynasty Trade episode, players to trade away. Robbie Anderson has only got 1 year left on his deal. He's not as young as everybody thinks he is. I think Terrace Marshall could fit great there, reuniting. And I know people are going to say, look, Gable, you're just making the lazy Joe Brady analysis in the comp and landing spot there. Dude, some of these tea leaves and these things are real, man. Like, Joe Brady knows.
Yeah, what the hell? You're telling me Joe Burrow wouldn't want Ja'Marr Chase if he's there for the Bengals? You're telling me Joe Brady wouldn't want I don't think that's fluff.
No,
I think coordinator for an NFL team, or you're a franchise quarterback. You don't think the Bengals are going to be like, yo, Joe, Penei Sewell just went fourth overall because D-Bro mocked him to the Falcons like a jerk. So now he's off our board. I'm telling you right now, if you don't think that's a thing for these teams, what do you want for your quarterback and your offensive coordinator? You want continuity. You want familiarity.
I mean, my whole thing is that with the Panthers, if people could say, well, they got DJ Moore, they got Robbie Anderson, how in the hell are they, or why do they need another wide receiver? Robbie's got 1 year left in his deal. DJ Moore is the guy that's going to be there probably for the long term. You look at Curtis Samuel is out the building. Terrace Marshall could step in and be in a complimentary role in his rookie season.
Ian Thomas is on Team Fitbit.
He just runs routes. Just running routes. Just running through the air, man.
Just having fun.
I think that, you can look at Terrace Marshall as a guy that could step in and get acclimated to the NFL in year one as a complimentary piece behind Robbie and behind DJ Moore, and then in his second season ascend to the 1A or 1B role next to DJ Moore and play the Robbie Anderson role, both in the short and intermediate areas of the field, as well as a guy that can work inside and work outside. I think that's a fantastic fit, and one that, put it this way, if people are going to be off of him because of that fit and say, well, Robbie Anderson's there, well, I mean, I don't know about that, it's kind of crowded, then I'm going to be like, all right, bye, baby, give me more Terrace Marshall. I'll take all of it. Give me what you got. So I love that fit for him, man. Before we get out of here, any other like dark horse teams, like one more that you want to throw in here?
One more team. I will go with the Tennessee Titans. They're not really a dark horse. Okay. I just think they need to add another playmaker. John is a free agent. Corey Davis is a free agent. Maybe they bring back one of those. It sounds like Corey Davis isn't going to be back. Not the Yak guy, so I don't know if the fit's great, but just from a position of need, it would make sense, especially because I think the Titans would want to address edge or maybe corner in the first round at pick. I think they're 22nd or so. And then you go in the second round, and you can get Terrace Marshall. So I've mocked a lot of receivers at Tennessee, but I think it does make sense given the free agency landscape right now.
The one I'll throw out there real fast, and it's a team, if they decide to trade down, there's a need. There was a need last year. I know people could say, well, this is not really a dark horse. This is an obvious one, bruh, but they didn't go wide receiver last year. And looking at, they're in their prime. They want to win right now. Mr. Robert Tonyan is a restricted free agent. All you got is can't catch shit MBS as far as a complimentary piece. Packers make some sense, man. They definitely make some sense.
Yeah, that, especially because, like, as much as I've mocked Rondale Moore at pick, 29 to them? The Packers could easily just say, no, we're good. We'll go offensive line or we'll go linebacker or whatever. And then last year's wide receiver class was one of the best ever. And they still said, no, we're good. So,
well, and the thing is, they could just trade out of the first round and grab some more draft equity and kind of reload this roster. Yeah, and they could grab Terrace Marshall.
Maybe their mindset is like, the hell do we need another receiver for when Davante Adams just does everything anyway? Like, obviously it would help him, but like, can't cover him anyway, so just like, all right, we'll just address other needs, and he'll get his 120 catches and 15 touchdowns, and we'll be on our way.
Yeah, that definitely can happen as well. All right, everyone, that is our NFL Draft Prospect Profile for Terrace Marshall. Again, Adam and I are going to be back discussing all these different prospects for this week, and Wednesday, we got the free agency preview, the primer, with Steffi Smalls from FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, and FTN Daily, stopping by the show to talk all things free agents. Get subscribed to the podcast. Tune in. Do not miss any one of these episodes. They are all going to be straight fire. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.